This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com, I am Alan Gervey, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here on this beautiful Saturday to be the managing partner of your life. And I am here with my wonderful co-host, Kerry Kasem, who can't hear a thing. Are you deaf today? Great job.
No, there we go.
Oh.
There we go. Yeah. So.
Perfect.
So weird. My chair hit, and now I can't hear myself anymore.
Your chair hit.
My chair hit the knob here, and I can't hear anything right now. So I'm just going to take off my headphones and talk to you.
I don't know if I want to talk to you without your headphones on.
I don't know what's happening.
Kerry, I've never seen this happen to you. In all the years we've been doing Gervey's Law, you are the consummate professional. And today, you just look like you're out of sorts.
I fixed it. I just switched. It was the headphones. The headphone jack was not in there.
Well, I'm sorry that's happened. We have a great show today, and we will be taking care of a lot of business because later on in the show, you know I'm very involved and very supportive of the Trial Lawyers Charities, Los Angeles Trial Lawyers
yes.
Charities. And we are so honored today. As usual, every year after Thanksgiving, we have to have on the show the Trial Lawyers Charities folks who come on and tell us about all the wonderful things that lawyers are doing, not bad things, but wonderful things. These people do such great work to help out the community. And today, later in the show, we will be talking to the Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, to Scott Corwin and to Jerry Marcus and Alyssa Sablosky. We'll be talking to them about what they are doing. They've got some great programs coming up, turkey and toy giveaway. You don't want to miss that.
No, and have you noticed what happened with Scott?
No.
Nothing major? Nothing big?
No.
I shouldn't use that word. He lost so much weight.
He did. The difference that 1 year will make.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of weight. Before we get to them, we have an important debate to get to because we have been following the Supreme Court case of Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. We've been following it for months. We had actually Kristen Wagner on the show. That was about 5 months ago when the Supreme Court finally decided they were going to take up this case. And now the hearing will be December 5th in a couple days from now. We're going to hear. And now Kristen Wagner, of course, is the lead attorney for the Alliance for Defending Freedom. And she was representing, she's going to be arguing at the Supreme Court. She represents Jack Phillips, who declined to design a cake for a gay couple. And the issue has been whether Colorado can force a baker to design a specialty cake with messages that may violate his religious beliefs. And we are really honored to have back with us Floyd Abrams, who is probably the most prominent First Amendment lawyer in the country. And Floyd's been on our show before, and we love talking to him. And he's going to talk with Christopher Green, who is new to our program. He's associate professor of law and the HLA Hart, one of my favorite philosophers, scholar in law and philosophy at the University of Mississippi School of Law, Ole Miss. And he has filed with David Upham of University of Dallas an amicus brief, one of about 100 in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. Welcome to Gervey's Law, fellas.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hi. That's good to be on again.
Hi, Floyd. Great to hear from you. And, of course, that's Christopher Green. Floyd, before we get started, I do want to ask you something because I heard that you weren't sure which side of the fence you were on this case at the beginning, that you thought maybe you were sympathetic as a First Amendment supporter of free speech to Jack Phillips. But then you decided that you were not going to support Jack Phillips.
Well, that's right. I learned more about the facts of the case. For example, it certainly is not my understanding, and it's not the way the case has been briefed by the parties, that the baker was asked to put messages on the cake of which he disapproved. What happened was that he wouldn't make any cake for them because they were two men getting married. And it's my view that, I mean, I spent most of my life defending the First Amendment. It's my view that's just discrimination, plain and simple. That's the equivalent of a shopkeeper saying, I'm not going to serve food. I'm not going to paint a picture of you because you're black, even though I have doors open here at my studio, saying, come on in and I'll paint a picture. To me, it's the same thing as a musician who offers lessons or offers to write a tune for you. But you come in and you're the wrong religion, or you're gay and getting married to another man or another woman. And he says, well, no, I'm not going to do it for you. I mean, that's my view as to what this case is about. And therefore, that's why I think that this is simply a violation of the anti-discrimination law, which is not protected by the First Amendment.
Well, there's a couple of issues here, though, because we're talking about where we draw the line. There's gray areas, and one of them is with respect to the freedom of expression, what the expression is. And a lot of people are saying, well, baking a cake for a wedding is not really expressing yourself like it would be for painting or it would be for some other creative pursuit. That's one argument. And then the other one is, do we differentiate between blacks and Jews and gays in this sort of thing? Is it the same when we talk about the freedom of religion? Christopher Green, associate professor at the University of Mississippi School of Law, why are you supporting Jack Phillips?
Well, first I should say that I actually have not been able to hear what Mr. Abrams has been saying. So I have looked at his amicus brief, but the issue that I have addressed in our amicus brief was the 14th Amendment issues in the case rather than the First Amendment. In short, the ability to engage in an occupation is a privilege, a right of citizens of the United States under the 14th Amendment. And because of that, any restriction that a state places on someone's ability to be a baker, for instance, has to have a justification. And in this case, given especially the existence of readily available alternative goods and services, there isn't an adequate justification.
Now, Floyd, were you able to hear that?
Yes, I did.
Is this a 14th Amendment issue?
Well, I don't think so. I listened carefully to what was said. My view is that the fact that someone has an occupation does not immunize him or her from abiding by the anti-discrimination laws, and that's true even if you can go next door and get the same goods or services or work of art that you can get in a particular store. I mean, I don't think it makes a difference conceptually at all that we're talking about a gay couple getting married, because that's what Colorado has decided is one of the things that is protected under their law, whether it's a gay couple getting married or a black man wanting someone to paint a picture of him. I mean, suppose we had a portrait painter who has a sign on the door of his store saying, come in and for $50, I'll paint a picture of you. And a black man walks in, or a Muslim walks in, or a Jew walks in and says, I'd like you to paint the picture. And he says either, well, it violates my religion to do so, or it violates my sense of free speech to do so. It seems to me those just are not valid arguments as against a statute of this sort. Now, I would have a different view if the couple were saying, you know, and we got to have on the cake a picture of two men. I think that is different from saying, I want the same cake that you would make for anyone else who's getting married, but who happens not to be gay.
Here's my question, Christopher and Floyd. This is Carrie Kasem, for the layperson here. When you walk into a store, I'm just wondering, is it unconstitutional to have the sign that says we have the right to refuse service to anyone? What about those signs? Is that unconstitutional to have in your store?
Christopher, you want to go first, or shall I?
Is Christopher still on the line? That is the question. Floyd, I think you were so powerful in your position.
I just wiped him out.
You wiped him out. You have done that so often in your career. In fact, the Supreme Court typically will listen to what you say, but apparently Professor Green isn't. We're going to try and get him back.
Well, look, the answer,
I'm doing my best.
I think they're there.
Is, I still haven't
heard Mr. Abrams. What he said in response to my argument. There's also a bit of a feedback on my phone.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we're going to get this fixed. But Professor Green, I want to tell you, I don't know if you actually didn't hear him or you're just saying that because you don't have an answer. I would bet that you actually didn't hear him because you seem to have an answer. Hold on to your thoughts because we really want to hear what you have to say, even though you haven't heard what Floyd has to say. And we will get back to it right after this message. You're listening to Curvy Slaw right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Westwood One and the National Football League present the Kurt Warner Quarterback Podcast.
I know Drew Brees is on the other sideline, and I know Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but I don't play against them. That is such a lie.
Well, you went against Brett Favre or whoever,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. You know who's on the other sideline. And when you're going into a game, you tell yourself, if we're going to beat this team, I cannot be outperformed by that other great quarterback, or we don't have a chance.
The Kurt Warner Quarterback Podcast. Subscribe today.
On the Westwood One Podcast Network.
The Johnsons don't have that inflatable musical snowman switched on tonight.
Yeah, I may or may not have accidentally on purpose cut the wires.
I love you. Alexa, play holiday music.
You're my prisoner.
Tens of millions of songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. For a limited time only, sign up today and receive 3 months for 99 cents at amazon.com/musicunlimited. Automatically renews. Cancel anytime.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 60% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $12. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code RADIO to get 60% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code RADIO.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection, and Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/search for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/search. That's match.com/search. Match.com/search.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gerby's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervey.
Yes, we're back. I really hope that the oral argument in the Supreme Court for the Masterpiece Cake Shop case goes a lot better than our first segment.
Technical difficulties. They're normal at radio stations, right?
I mean, I know this is a real controversial subject, that there's two sides and people feel very strongly about one side or the other, but the fact that we can't have a debate because of technical difficulties?
Yeah.
I'm thankful that Christopher Green, an associate professor of law at the University of Mississippi School of Law, stayed on the air. He was talking to Floyd Abrams, or at least he was trying to hear him, but he couldn't. Christopher, I want to pick up where we left off. Professor Eugene Volokh, who's on our show quite a bit, said cakes may be tasty and pretty, but creating them is not expression protected by the First Amendment. And Professor Volokh often does side with First Amendment freedom of expression. Why is it that Jack Phillips, who declined to design the cake for the gay couple, was not creating an expression under the First Amendment, according to Eugene Volokh?
So his argument, which is very similar to the argument that Mr. Abrams makes in his amicus group, I think is part of the idea is based on analogies to other other sorts of expression that would not count. Part of the reasoning process that they use with the First Amendment is that if it's speech, if they say that it counts as speech, it has to be absolutely protected. So I sort of think of this in terms of a kind of a left-right axis and an up-and-down axis. So if you think of a right-to-left is what sort of things are covered by a provision,
right?
They want to say, well, if it's covered, if it counts as speech, it has to be absolutely protected no matter what the circumstances. So you get their picture of the free speech protection under the First Amendment is relatively narrow in the sense that it doesn't apply to things like failing to engage in commerce in particular circumstances. But if it does apply, it's very tall. So my view of the 14th Amendment protection that I think the court should use to resolve the case is broader in the sense that it would apply to any restrictions on the ability to get into an occupation. So any limits on the right of a citizen of the United States to engage in a profession should be something that is scrutinized. But the height of this box of constitutional protection is not going to be as tall. Just because you're a citizen of the United States doesn't mean you have the right to engage in just any profession at any time. You have to look at the interests that the state is asserting on the other side. And here in the Mashpee's case, because there are readily available alternatives, there's no reason not to allow Jack Phillips to be a baker. So he has a view according to which God, as he sees it, thinks he's expressing something by baking cakes for a wedding. It doesn't, for a particular kind of wedding, it doesn't really matter whether all of society agrees that that's speech under my view of the 14th Amendment, whereas under the Abrams-Volokh view of the First Amendment, you know, it has to either be speech or not be speech for everyone in the same way. So the 14th Amendment, short version, according to my view, allows for a more nuanced, context-sensitive approach to what rights people have. So they.
So Christopher, I have a question on that because before you, you know, we have the technical difficulties. I asked a question before break, and people want to know the answer to it. And it was: is a sign when you walk into a store and it says "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone"? Is that constitutional or not constitutional? So it seems, to according to you, that would be, but according to Abrams, it's not.
Well.
I mean, he didn't give me his answer. Let me rephrase
that.
He didn't say that, but according to his amicus.
So according to my view, if there were not readily available alternatives, if somebody had a monopoly position, if they had a service that no one else could provide, so certainly transportation services related to hotels tend to produce local monopolies. Certainly if all the other hotels are full for a night, you suddenly have people over a barrel. You're the only game in town. That's just not how the wedding market works.
But that's really not the issue here, is it? Because we have to talk about discrimination. I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense from a legal perspective, but isn't it going to just cause a lot of discrimination against anyone you can think of? Muslims, Jews, blacks, Southerners, whoever, if you subscribe to your theory?
Well, the profit motive, if you look at the state of Mississippi, we have a law that we adopted a few years ago, and people were in the press were looking around. They said, are there any businesses they have a right to refuse business on certain grounds, and they were looking around, are there any businesses that are actually going to give up the profit that they would make by engaging in this commerce? And they couldn't find any. So generally, the fact that you have a legal right to fail to engage in commerce is not going to prevent people from engaging in it. So to say that you have a First Amendment right, it wouldn't produce discrimination.
Isn't that why we have anti-discrimination laws?
Well, if you look at the history of the Civil Rights Act of 1875, that's not the reason why we have anti-discrimination laws. Generally, we impose duties on people in fields like transportation and common carriers because we have certain kinds of market failures where you have people who are the only game in town. And certain kinds of anti-discrimination laws are required in order to allow certain minority groups to have access to the market. When you have a cartel
right.
protected that's acting in a certain way, you really do have to have anti-discrimination laws in order to have people have access to the market. That's not required.
Professor Green, we only have
in this kind of case.
We only have about 30 seconds. What is your best guess at what will happen with the Supreme Court with this case?
My best guess would be that they ask for re-argument on, and more briefing on the 14th Amendment. That's my hope.
Really?
I always read my hopes into the court.
And if they don't, you don't see a decision coming out based on the makeup of the court?
They could. I mean, their approach to speech has been flexible, and it has changed. They've imported concepts from other areas at different times. I would not be surprised if they did that.
I agree with you there. Thanks for being with us, Christopher Green, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Mississippi School of Law.
Thank you very much.
Take care. You know, Carrie, we do want to get Floyd Abrams back on the line because I have a couple questions to follow up with him. Mr. Abrams, are you back on the line?
Yes, I am.
I'm really sorry about that. We've never had that before, and I've never seen a debate like this before. But like I was saying, this is such a divisive issue, this case, that apparently you can't even debate head-to-head. You have to present your arguments. This is like the Supreme Court. You're going to present your arguments to us, and Mr. Christopher Green, the professor at University of Mississippi, did his. Now, I have something to follow up because I didn't buy anything that he was saying when he was focusing on the 14th Amendment. How can he just discount the unlawful discrimination that he seems to say the law allows for? Whether it's on this case or a different case, he seems to be subscribing to the theory that in commerce, you can do whatever you want, even if it affects any group of people.
Yeah, and that's precisely why we have anti-discrimination laws. That's what people did think at one point. And then we started to move towards being a society in which overt discrimination, at least, and then maybe covert, but certainly overt discrimination, not selling to someone because of his race or religion, or now in Colorado, because of same-sex marriage, is illegal. I mean, as I understand what has been said on the other side, it's that because you have a profession or an occupation of some sort, you can't really be held liable constitutionally under the anti-discrimination laws so long as the person can go next door.
Right. And based on that, Floyd, don't you think that the Supreme Court is really going to focus on what is expression and what isn't? The Cato Institute, for instance, says the fact that the baker's media are icing and chocolate rather than ink or paint does nothing to diminish the artistic content of the work.
Well, look, let me put it this way. The brief that I worked on and signed took the position that we weren't even going to get into that, that we were prepared to assume that a baker making cakes on an individualistic basis could be said in some way to be engaged in artistic activity. And our position, my position, is that even if that's so, that can't be enough to trump the anti-discrimination laws. I mean, that's why it seems to me the best sort of examples are ones in which we agree that there's some art involved. If a painter
yeah.
has a studio and he invites the public in, but throws out people who are black or Muslim or Jewish or this or that, it violates the law.
So,
and I just don't think anyone would take the position in the 21st century, or even the latter half, or most of it, of the 20th century, that an anti-discrimination statute of that sort cannot apply in these circumstances.
So I asked the same question that I asked before the break, was, is having a sign in your store that reads, you know, we refuse the right, we can basically throw out anybody, we can refuse service to anyone, is that constitutional or not constitutional?
Well, a sign saying we reserve the right not to serve anyone that we don't want to serve,
right,
probably is constitutionally protected in the sense that you couldn't be punished for having the sign. But if what you do is to treat people differently because of their race or religion or same-sex marriage relationship, then it's no defense at all.
Exactly.
But why didn't these people just go next door? Obviously, they'd known the man for a while. This man didn't seem like he was doing it because he was angry or hateful.
They didn't know him at all.
No, they said that they had used him before, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Abrams, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I do know because I read an article about it.
But I remember him saying he was not upset with them. He was not angry. Yes.
No.
But that doesn't make any difference. I mean when you can't say that if a lunch counter won't serve people of a certain color, but there's one nearby that will, that the lunch counter that won't do it doesn't violate the law.
Yeah. I think that's discriminatory. You're talking about somebody's color of their skin. You're not talking about somebody's religion or somebody's faith.
Why is that different?
Why is it different?
No, but why is it different if the basis of the discrimination is religious?
Exactly.
Suppose you say in good faith, I simply cannot serve a black man, a Muslim, a Jew. I can't. It's inconsistent with my deepest held religious views. And suppose that's true.
But what religion does that? Can somebody point out who you can't? I just want to know what religion right now that you could subscribe to says you cannot serve a Jew or a Muslim or a black person or this. I want to know, because to me, when you have faith or you are a religious person, that's very different than being, you know.
So why should gays be any different than?
And I'm not
other
saying it's
people.
Right.
We're
look,
all
I,
human
and I am
beings.
Also taking devil's advocate. No, I don't agree
I
with
don't
what he
that.
Did, but I don't think this is something that should be debated.
Well, we're gonna have to wrap it up.
Supreme
it's,
Court.
It's a very sensitive issue. Floyd, what would be your best guess at what happens when
I think this is going to be a very close vote, I think. I mean, remember, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled that the statute was constitutional as applied. The U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear it. That means there are at least four votes out of the nine.
Well, they only agreed to hear it after Gorsuch became a justice.
Well, but that still you need four votes.
That's right.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that this is likely to be a deeply divided court.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to put you on the spot before we let you go. Where's it going to go? Which way?
Well, with a picture of Justice Kennedy in front of me.
Yes. Yes.
I think at the end of the day, Justice Kennedy will sustain the ruling of the Colorado Supreme Court.
I agree with you there. I think that's it. Floyd Abrams, thanks very much for being with us again. Sorry about those technical difficulties.
No. It's good to talk to you all.
But you made some great points, and I think you're going to, as usual, I think the Supreme Court's going to listen to you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care, Floyd. You're listening to Gurry's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back with the Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities.
KABC News Update, I'm Steve Cumming. There is reaction from some Russian senators on the guilty plea from Michael Flynn. Correspondent Michael Chance reports from Moscow.
One of them saying that this is a case that is a sack of smoke, and essentially it is just hype. Another senator saying that Flynn is a scapegoat, and this is really just an attack on the U.S. president.
President Trump has changed his story on why he fired Michael Flynn as his national security advisor. He now suggests that he knew at the time that Flynn had lied to the FBI as well as to Vice President Mike Pence about his Russian contacts during the presidential transition. Meanwhile, Trump's outside counsel is telling correspondent Abby Phillips that a Saturday afternoon tweet about Michael Flynn was simply paraphrasing what he had heard from his legal team.
The White House is trying to really downplay this idea that the president was somehow admitting that at the time that he fired James Comey, he knew that Flynn had lied.
KABC SoCal weather, mostly clear this evening with lows in the lower to mid-50s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Mike Flynn cops a guilty plea. Lock him up time.
95-year-old Norman Lear shooting a new show called Guess Who's Dead.
And other outrages on the next McIntyre Morning 5 to 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Holiday cookies, who doesn't love them? But all that baking can be havoc on your pipes. Luckily, the pros at SoCal Plumbers 911 are on call 24/7, even on holidays. Licensed and insured, SoCal Plumbers 911 can handle any job. So go ahead, bake with confidence. SoCal Plumbers 911 has your holidays covered. Call SoCal Plumbers 911 and save $50 with their KABC special. Dial 877-PLUMBER or go to SoCalPlumbers911.com. That's SoCalPlumbers911.com.
Get your home ready for the holidays at Living Spaces, where you can still find Black Friday deals for one more week. We've extended our Black Friday prices through Sunday, so you can still save big on your new living room, dining room, bedroom, mattress, or our huge selection of home accents and accessories. These deals are good through Sunday only, or while supplies last. So don't wait until next Black Friday, and hurry into Living Spaces before these Black Friday deals are gone.
It had to be you.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. It had to be you. You're dancing here, Carrie.
I love this song.
Well, I love the charities that we're going to talk about right now because, you know, lawyers get such a bad name. I try so hard to tell people about the positive things that lawyers do. And instead, we always hear these lawyer jokes. And now we have with us three really great human beings who devote so much of their time to helping others. It's amazing. They're busy practices. They're all very, very successful, busy attorneys, but they spend so much time helping out with the Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, LATLC as we like to call it. Right now with us here on Gervey's Law is Scott Corwin, Jerry Marcus, and Alyssa Shablosky, all the executive members of the LATLC. Welcome back to Gervey's Law, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Girl.
Well, guys is a, you know, expression we use.
That's, guys and girls.
That's when you used to say workman's comp, and I had
that's
to say
right.
workers' comp.
Yes.
So let's talk about LATLC because you've got an amazing website, and for those of you who need to know a little bit more, and you should all, lawyers and non-lawyers alike, go to LATLC.com. It's justice in the courtroom and service in the community. Scott Corwin, the immediate past president, tell us about the activities of LATLC.
Well, we do a lot of things, which I'm going to defer to Alyssa because she is our vice president and also the chair of the partners committee. But We do engage helping with over 67 charities in Los Angeles by volunteer work with them. We've donated more than 1,000 hours of attorney time this year. Wow. We also do some fundraising events in order to raise money from attorneys. Is what I want to point out is that Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, LATLC, raises all its money from the community, for the community, from personal injury and workers' compensation attorneys like yourself. So we do not go out and ask the public for money. We ask lawyers for money, and then we donate it back to the
and
community.
And it's amazing how much people, lawyers, donate.
Yes. There
are really a lot of people. You've got so many people involved. When this started, how many years ago, Jerry, did this start?
It started 11 years ago, actually, with 7 attorneys.
Wow. Yeah. And now, how many do you have on the honorary board?
Well, we have 3,000 supporters, and on the honorary board, approximately 300 attorneys.
Wow. And they're all giving money. Isn't that something? I don't understand why lawyers have a bad
name. I love my attorneys. I don't know what you're talking about.
But
look, there's some
really
bad ones out there.
The work that they're doing.
But
Jerry,
I love mine.
Before we talk about some of the other activities, tell us how you got involved, because you've spent a lot of time donating your time in a very busy practice, yet you have been able to help out others where, you know, maybe others are not doing that.
Sure. For me, about 7 years ago, I saw that there was this new organization, and it was already in place for a few years, called Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities. And I called up the then president and founding person, Bruce Traney, and said, hey, what is this? What are you guys doing? And he said, you know, we're just trying to raise a little money from within, from plaintiff trial lawyers, and we're giving it back to the community. We're trying to do the right thing and immerse ourselves in the community and just, you know, do the right thing. So I donated some money and donated a little more a couple of years later. And then about 4 years ago, I got really involved and I volunteered to be a part of the organization and become proactive and actually go out to events and raise money from other attorneys. And I got to see the good that LATLC is doing. So from that point, it was infectious. It was just, you know, it didn't matter how busy I was or that it's hard to ask people for money. When you get it, when you give the time and you give it back to people in the community that need a little help, it's the best feeling in the world.
I think this is great. And I also love, I have to say too, April, that you're doing a poker tournament to raise money. So you're constantly doing this throughout the year. It's not just like this one big thing. And you are constantly helping the community throughout the entire year. And I think that's fantastic. And as long as I've been doing the show, Alan, you have always, you know, put TLC on, LATLC on. And I think that's wonderful. So I'm sitting, I don't hear a ton of bad things about lawyers, maybe because I'm with them all the time.
You should talk to my clients.
But at least I want to hear what do you do?
Currently, I'm the treasurer of LATLC, and I first got involved because I wanted a way to give back. I didn't have a lot of time to go out and search what organizations were good to volunteer with or how to give back necessarily. I didn't grow up in Southern California or Los Angeles. So LATLC kind of fell into my lap. It was good for my professional development to get me involved with other attorneys. But what I love most about LATLC is the fact that we do volunteer our time and we go out and we do service projects. We paint low-income housing. We garden. We landscape. We get our hands dirty. And we really involve ourselves with making our community a better place.
That's awesome. And showing that lawyers aren't bad people. That
no.
They give back.
And, you know, so many people appreciate it. Scott, I know you've participated with so many organizations. Can you give us some examples? Because people out there listening, they want to know, you know, who are you dealing with? Is it women's groups? Is it children? Is it homeless?
Sure.
Or all of the above?
Well, it's not quite all of the above, but it's a lot. So the mission statement of the Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, LATLC, is to help with issues related to education, children, survivors of abuse, and persons with disabilities and homelessness. That's our focus. And we work with more than 67 partner charities now, and we fund them with money, and then we provide grants for specific things. And then we also volunteer, like I said. Some examples of some of the charities we work with are the Blind Children's Center, the Los Angeles Mission, which takes care of homeless downtown, Venice Family Clinic, which provides health care to indigent and those without health care to about 50,000 people in Los Angeles. St. Anne's and the Downtown Women's Center are women's homeless shelters and take care of young women who are in need and high risk. And then something like Vista Del Mar is another good example, which takes care of developmentally disabled kids, more than 10,000 in Los Angeles. So those are the kinds of organizations we work with.
And you really get your hands dirty. It's not like, you know, Jerry talks about giving money, and I think a lot of attorneys are giving money, but there are a lot of attorneys who are also going out there to these activities. Alyssa, where have you been? I know I've read with kids. I've gone to some of the women's groups. What have you done that you have been so rewarding and meaningful for you?
I think most recently, the most rewarding event that we've done is build tricycles for disabled children. Disabled children have special needs. Some of them can't, they need straps to hold them into a trike. They can't balance necessarily on two wheels, but they can on three. And we've built custom tricycles for about 30 families not so long ago. And watching those kids ride around on their trikes with their little helmets and from everywhere, every age, from like toddler age to teenagers and older, these kids are just able to ride around on their tricycles and participate in life with their family in a way that they couldn't do before. And it's just so incredible to see the joy on their face.
Now, if you're not a lawyer, but you want to help with this, do you take volunteers? Like if somebody wanted to go and help paint the houses, or they wanted to help with the gardening, but they're not attorneys, what do you say to them?
Go to law school.
Oh, Alan.
we do take volunteers, okay. And anybody can go to our website at latlc.org.
Oh, I said .com, it's .org.
It's .org. And to click under upcoming events or events and then sign up to go out and get your hands dirty, whether it's planting flowers or trees or painting a house or work, reading to children, any of the above. So it's open to virtually anybody who wants to volunteer.
And it's so awesome. Rewarding.
It
That's
is.
One of the things. And I want to take a quick break, but we want to talk about some of the upcoming events because the Turkey and Toy Giveaway is really important. We just had the golf tournament, which has become a huge success. And I love going to the golf tournament because not only do you see a lot of people who are caring, people who think the way you do and want to help the charities, but it's also just a lot of fun to go out there. And, of course, the casino night, which Scott has made legendary. I don't know that there's a better casino night out there for any organization.
It's a group effort.
That's what you say. But I know it is a group effort, but there are certain special people like you guys who are really putting in the time. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the Turkey and Toy Giveaway because it's set for December 16th. It's an activity that I want to take my kids to, actually. Can I bring my kids there?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I know they have, like, pony rides and stuff like that, which they would really love. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Hello everyone, Domino's here. There's a sound you should get used to. That's right, we love our customers, and we're not above a little kissing up. And that's why we have a ridiculously good deal. We're giving you half off all pizzas when you order online. Go to Domino's.com, select the coupon, and get all pizzas for 50% off menu price. But hurry, it's only valid through December 7th. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only. Limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer applies to the pizza portion of your order only.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is if we call bicycles bikes and tricycles trikes, shouldn't we call motorcycles mics? Maybe a bunch of guys named Mike teamed up and put a stop to it.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job.
RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Someday, when I'm awfully old.
Yeah.
I love this music.
Different music today.
It's awesome, Alan. It's awesome.
Yeah. You know, thinking of you,
yeah.
That's really important, especially at this time of the year. And it's really nice to have Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities here because after Thanksgiving, before the Christmas season, the holidays, Hanukkah, I should say, too, because I want to make sure that we give equal opportunity.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah, Festivus for the rest of you. you know, I'm not going to be like the masterpiece cake shop case and only single out in my expression one group. But it's just so nice to stop and think about doing good things. We get so caught up as a lawyer. A lot of times we're just spending so much time arguing and fighting. And these people here today and others in the Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities have given so much of themselves, especially the three here, Scott Corwin, Jerry Marcus, and Alyssa Shablosky, have been doing yeoman's work to help others. Now, I know, Scott, you are a man of statistics. Not only are you a man of photography, because if you go to his website, you're going to find that's sjclaw.com. You'll see a lot of pictures that Scott has taken with people. But you also are a man of statistics. Tell us about what the trial lawyers' charities have done in the way of helping people.
Well, in the last three and a half years, what we have done is the following. We've given back nearly $3 million to the Los Angeles community via these 67 different partner charities and some direct giving as well in terms of grants, gifts, and goods. We have donated more than $500,000 of food to groups such as the L.A. Mission, the L.A. Food Bank, Food Bank of Southern California, which provided more than 750,000 meals for those who are hungry in our community. Like we said, we have more than a dozen volunteer events with partner charities this year, almost 1,000 hours of attorney volunteer time. We gave out $120,000 in scholarships to Los Angeles public school, high school seniors based on need and merit. And then we have a youth sports program where we take care of public youth sports leagues or high school leagues, junior high school leagues of baseball, football, and we provide them with support. So these are some of the things that we've done. And I just want to emphasize that the people doing this, the lawyers that are doing this, like you and Jerry and Alyssa and myself and all the members of Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, we are plaintiffs' lawyers. We represent injured victims, whether it's an employment case or a workers' compensation claim or it's a sexual abuse case or it's somebody who's injured in a car accident or by a defective product. And we're out there fighting for the people. We call ourselves trial lawyers for the people. So doing what we do through Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities is just, it's bootstrapping what we do right. For a living into giving back to the community. And that's why I feel it's so natural and it's a natural fit for us. And our membership keeps growing and growing.
You know, it is natural, but it does take time. I know all of us, and especially you three, you have busy practices. So it's really something to be able to take the time and make that choice. Jerry, tell us a little bit, and by the way, it's GeraldMarcusLaw.com, just in case you wanted check out the good-looking fella sitting in front of me. Tell us about the holiday turkey and toy giveaway.
Sure.
Because that's coming up, and it's one of those activities and events that Scott talks about.
Right. Well, this has become one of my favorite events. It's going to be our second annual turkey and toy giveaway on December 16th. It's at the New Prospect Baptist Church on South Broadway in Los Angeles, basically in South Central Los Angeles. And about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Min Nguyen, Reagan, one of our former presidents, came up with this brilliant idea that in addition to raising money and giving it away to all of our partner charities and going to the events, we should have our own event and we should raise money. We should buy turkeys and toys and through the church invite in excess of 1,500 families, probably 2,000 families to come and join us where we can give them complete turkey feasts, turkeys with all the fixings, all the sides, everything that they could possibly need, and to give away more than 1,500 toys to all the children that need a toy for Christmas. And we set up a whole holiday village with ponies, with Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus, and give away, you know, just good spirits for all the kids. And we did this last year. We had local politicians. We had Mike Fuhr, Ron Galpin, many other local politicians and councilmen. And it just brought awareness through trial lawyers in the community that we do give back. And again, being there to see all these people accepting what we gave and to be a part of it was the best feeling in the world.
How do you get the people to come? Because obviously we're not media people, we're lawyers, but you do such a great job in getting people out
right.
who really need it and appreciate it.
Right. Well, last year there was a partnership basically between LA Trial Lawyer Charities and the New Prospect Church. And we went through the reverend there and he contacted, basically put out notices and invitations for the local community to become a part of our turkey and toy giveaway. And it was overwhelming. We didn't know what to expect. It was the first time we did it. And it grew to a point where we had a couple of thousand people
wow.
there. We had the Los Angeles Police Department with permits who closed down a full city block from 108th to 109th Street on Broadway. And it became a real Christmas village. So from that, our first premier event down there, it became one of my favorite events.
Yeah, and actually we work in partnership with the precinct, the local precinct for the Los Angeles Police Department down there. So they actually send us Explorer Scouts, and they come down and they volunteer. So it's great to see the LAPD working. And also in conjunction with Los Angeles City Councilman Marquise Dawson Williams and his district. So he also invited people in the community. So the pastor and the police department and the city councilmen that know this district reached out to the people in need in the community and get them down there.
And that's a key word, Alyssa. When Scott talks about community, you can hear how many different groups are involved with this. People coming together at this time of the year. It's really something that the lawyers put this together and bring these people together.
Absolutely. That is what is so wonderful about this whole event, the Turkey and Toy Giveaway. It really shows what we can do when we all come together and work together and work toward a common goal. And just the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You know, these kids have such a wonderful memory. They've got face painting, their pony rides, their carnival games, just an experience that a lot of these kids, unfortunately, wouldn't be able to get anywhere else. Last year, one of the council members' staff came up and said to me, you know, nobody's ever done anything like this for this neighborhood before. This is a really neglected neighborhood because it's kind of between two districts and it gets overlooked often. So he was incredibly grateful that we were all able to come together and create such a wonderful experience for these families.
And what is the neighborhood exactly that you're taking care of? And if there's other people that are listening and they you know, have maybe they know a church that can, you know, so maybe they're in an area that, you know, it's an area that needs help as well. And they have children that, you know, don't have much money or don't have many things. Their parents don't have many things to give them. Can they be involved or would that be too big? What is too big and how many communities can you take on?
We want to take on as many as we possibly can.
See, that's a lawyer's answer.
Yeah.
We don't shy away from anything, right?
Right. It's the exact area is it's in the between 108th and 109th Street on South Broadway. So it's considered the South Broadway corridor, and it's essentially South Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it's part of Marquise Dawson Williams. It's the 8th Council District, I believe.
And do you need more volunteers? Because I know a
sure.
lot of people come out, but how would someone, a lot of lawyers listen to the show, how would they volunteer?
They go to www.latlc.org, our website, and right on the home page it says volunteer registration. They just click on that. It comes up with a list of our volunteer events, and the turkey event is going to be the top one. They just click.
All right. They can figure it out. They're lawyers. They can figure it out.
Absolutely.
Once they get to LATLC.org. And then, Scott, of course, we only have a couple more minutes, but I do want you to give us a little taste of what we're in store for casino night in 2018.
Yes.
Well, for all of the attorneys that are out there listening as well, and I'm sure there's a lot that listen to your show, as well as members of the public, but this is the fundraising component of our organization. So, you know, everything that Alyssa and Jerry were talking about is all the good that we do in the community. But in terms of fundraising, Casino Night, which it's a Casino Night and Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament, it will be our fifth annual one on April 21st, Saturday, April 21st, 2018. And we're moving to the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood.
Nice.
And it's going to be spectacular. The theme is going to be Old Hollywood. The first Academy Awards were held at this event, and it's the main fundraising event for our organization. We raise more than 60% of the revenue for the year from this event. So it's very important. There's sponsorships. Tickets will be on sale on our website effective tomorrow.
Now, most important is how many buy-ins.
You get, for you can, there's unlimited rebuys for you, depending on how good you are for the first hour of the tournament.
Scott, I'm surprised you haven't got her to commit to being there on the air.
Okay, so first of all, I'll tell you why I wasn't the last two times. One ran on my conference. Do you remember that? I'm like, I can't go. I'm literally my biggest conference. The second was my dad's birthday.
All right.
So,
well,
yeah,
this
and
time
I
you'll
couldn't
be
do
there.
It. This year I can do it.
We're inviting you and we want to be able to tell people and play poker with Carrie Kasem.
There you go.
And I'm happy to know that I will be able. I'm going to be in Hawaii, but I'm coming back the day before just for the casino night. Jerry Marcus, Scott Corwin, Alyssa Shablosky, thank you so much. LATLC. Everyone go to the website, latlc.org. It's an amazing organization with lawyers who are giving back to the community. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
And that's going to do it for our show. I'm Alan Gervey. She's Carrie Kasem.
Thanks for
listening to Gervey's Law. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan Gervey and Wynn.